You're listening to A1R Psychic Radio, Earth's number one psychic radio network, and watching Moonstruck TV and Lightning Television. Welcome. Time for Amanda Hall Psychic with Amanda Hall. Live from AmandaHallPsychic.com.au. Connect direct. In North America, dial 888-454-2751. In London, 203-519-2158. In Sydney, dial 02-8488-3147. Or online, contact us through our Facebook page, Facebook.com/Psychic Radio.
Or one of our websites,
AskOneRadio.com or Moonstruck.tv. This is Amanda the Hall site on A1R, the Ask One Radio Network.
Welcome to A1R Psychic Radio. You're here on Moonstruck TV with Amanda Hall Psychic, all the way from the Gold Coast. Hope you're having an absolutely fantastic week wherever you are in our amazing planet of ours. Here in Australia, we've been in the midst of a lot of tropical storms this week. It's a little bit quiet here at the moment, which is peaceful. It's very nice at the moment, but I'm sure we'll get another round of tropical storms this afternoon or later tonight. So wherever you are in this world of ours, and if you've been experiencing any weather events, my heart goes out to you, because it's not a fun time. You know, there's lots of things happening, and people sort of, you know, there's some camps that say global warming isn't real, and other people say, yes, this is a result of global warming. No matter what your belief systems are, the weather is changing, and we have to adjust, and we have to try and learn to work with it and sort of understand that things are changing and we can't turn the clock back, that we have to go forward. And that's part of the journey of life, I think, that, you know, there's many things that change throughout our lifetime. And as we get older, we tend to turn around and say, oh, gee, back in the good old days when I was such and such an age, things were a lot simpler and things were a lot easier, things were cheaper, things were this and things were that. And they probably were. But you've got to also understand, for the young people of today, when they get more mature themselves, they're going to look back and say these were the good old days for them. So, you know, the world is always evolving, changing, growing, and, you know, we go through many different cycles, whether it's famines, feasts, wars, peace times, whatever. That's part of growth. That's part of what the world needs to do to evolve and change. And I think the thing that sort of stands out to me at the most at the moment is that technology is moving so very, very fast. I'm not sure that we've all got a chance to catch up with it before it moves on to the next level or it moves on to the next new big thing. That's a little bit of a concern, because we don't get the time to stop and really, you know, enjoy it and embrace it and sort of say, wow, isn't this amazing, before we're off onto the next new thing. But that's just the way life is at the moment. So the Simply Tarot card of the week is the Ace of Cups. Now, the Ace of Cups is one of those cards that's a very beautiful card. It's the offer of security, and it's the offer of a helping hand. Look, I'm sure there's many people around the world at the moment that could do with the offer of a helping hand, whether it's been a weather event or whether it's been a family crisis or just basically, you know, things in their life where they could do with a little bit more help in their lives. And it would be nice to have somebody come along and offer you that helping hand. So that's a really, really nice card to have. And it doesn't always mean that people are going to come running in with money or bucket loads of money. That sometimes it's just the emotional support, or knowing that someone's there is the helping hand that you need, to know that you're not alone, that there's somebody else there that can understand, that will, you know, say to you, it's going to be okay. Just a simple few comforting words or a hug can make all the difference in a time of crisis. And, you know, sometimes I think we underestimate the power of just being there for somebody. It's not always about financial helping. It's about being there. It's being present is the most important gift that we can give a lot of people in our lives, is our time. And I think we've lost the art of that over the last 20 or 30 years. And we need to get back to that a little bit more. Instead of being so self-absorbed on our devices, we need to give a little bit of our time to the people that are around us, because one day they won't be there. So now's the time to start giving. And I know this week is Thanksgiving in America and Canada. We don't celebrate it here in Australia, but it is a time that I think we should all be very thankful and start giving a little bit more of our time. So astrologically, yes, it's a big week. I say that every week, but it's a very exciting time of the year. It's my favourite time of the year. It's the Sagittarian time of the year, I suppose probably because I'm a fellow Sag, but I always find this time of the year very, very uplifting. It's sort of like people are getting busy and the children are getting excited about Santa Claus coming, and, you know, we're planning get-together get-togethers with family and sort of enjoying the time. Here in Australia, it's summertime, so we look forward to going to the beach and get great outdoors and barbecues and things like that and sort of really enjoying that sense of freedom. I know in the Northern Hemisphere it's cold and, you know, you're looking for hot chocolate and sort of, you know, keeping warm and, you know, having snow fights and things like that, but it doesn't matter where you are in the world. The Sagittarian time of the year is a very exciting, very uplifting time. It's a time when we all seem to get a little bit more energy. So happy birthday to all the Saggies coming up. It's a really exciting time of the year. And I'm sure that, you know, you've been through a lot of changes this year. I know a lot of Sagittarians have been through a lot of changes, but there's still more to come. So, you know, don't think just because it's your birthday time, it's the end of potential or opportunity that could come in. There's still, you know, months ahead of us of those sort of things. We also have Venus, the planet of love and affection, is conjunct or holding hands with Mercury, the planet of communication. Now, they're both in Scorpio. Now, what this means is, yes, predominantly for the water signs, Scorpio, Pisces, Cancer, and the opposite sign of Taurus, but it will wash over to the other remaining eight signs. Now, I'm going to stress here to be very, very, very careful if you need to have a conversation with your loved one or someone that you care about, make sure that you sprinkle a little, you know, fairy dust in there. Make sure you sprinkle a little bit of love in there. Sometimes I think we can get so excited or determined about what we've got to say that we forget to sprinkle a little bit of softness in there as well, because Mercury can sometimes be quite scathing. And particularly in Scorpio, I like to describe it as having razor blades for breakfast, that you forget to put a bit of warmth in there. So if you've got to have a conversation with a loved one and it is a tricky situation, make sure that you approach it in a gentle, sort of calm sort of way. Yes, you can be forthright. Yes, you can sort of put your point across with great gusto, but make sure that there's a sprinkle of love and fairy dust in there as well. It's a time when, you know, some relationships will go through a bit of trauma here where we try and sort out, you know, the chaff from the weeds sort of thing. And you've got to listen to the other person's point of view too. It's not always just about you. Their point of view is also important. For some relationships, they probably won't stand the test of time. This will spell the death knell, but that would have happened anyway. So you can't just blame it on this transit. For other people, there'll be major breakthroughs in communication with tricky issues that they haven't been able to resolve for a long time. And finally, just finally, things will start to see a glimmer of hope and we'll start to see things moving forward. And that's a very, very good thing. We have Saturn, Saturn, the planet of discipline, which is still going retrograde at the moment and will be until the 4th of December, is conjunct or holding hands with Neptune. Now, they're both retrograde at the moment. They're both sitting in Pisces, again, that water sign emphasis. So with Saturn here, conjunct Neptune, Saturn is saying to you, look, I'm giving you this one last chance to sort of put some structure in your life, put a good solid foundation underneath you, you know, really sort of shore up anything that might need shoring up before he moves into Aries, and is asking you to sort of say, okay, have a good look around, make sure that you've done all the chores, that you're comfortable with where everything is, so that then we can sprinkle a little bit of creativity over the top of this. Neptune can be the planet of creativity. It isn't always about deluding ourselves or illusion and delusion. It can also bring in tremendous creativity. So imagine what we can achieve if we've got a really good structure or a platform underneath us of great stability, and then we bring in the creativity, the opportunities that can come with that, and the opportunities to sort of bring in things that we never thought that were possible or always seemed out of reach. It's amazing how much can be done at this time. So you really need to be aware, no matter what your star sign is, there's an opportunity there for greatness. Yes, predominantly the water signs again, which is Pisces, Cancer and Scorpio, and the opposite sign of Virgo, but it is washing over the other eight signs. And I must stress that, you know, with these two planets who are about to go direct again, it's going to feel sort of almost like the railway carriage is being shunted down the track. It's sort of like, you know, bang, 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 shunt, 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 move forward a little bit and then sort of seeming like feeling like it's going backwards as we start to get the momentum up. And that's only days away because, you know, December 4 is only just around the corner. So be aware that there might be a few little things there that need sort of reorganizing or reshunting, and then you'll be ready to sort of go forward in great gusto. We're featuring a lot of the retrograde planets at the moment because they really are playing big havoc in our lives, and they really are influencing a lot of things that are going on for a lot of people. So the next one that I want to talk about is Jupiter. Jupiter is the planet of opportunity, luck, and expansion in our lives. Now, Jupiter's sitting in Cancer currently. It's retrograde until March next year. So this is only just gone retrograde. It's going to feel very, very uncomfortable for Cancerians. So again, the water sign emphasis. It's Cancer, Scorpio, Pisces, and the opposite sign of Capricorn, washing over the remaining eight signs, nowhere near as intense, but it's really sort of water sign time at the moment, where the water sign energy is really, really sort of intense. So with Jupiter here, it's sort of asking you to sort of look at what are the opportunities sitting around you. Now, look, I have a number of Cancerian clients that are sort of, you know, taking one step forward, six back, four forward, three back, and they're sort of, you know, they're going sideways and sort of going backwards at the same time instead of trying to really probably go forward. They're finding it very, very difficult on the emotional level to sort of bring everything into balance. They want to create new opportunities. They want to sort of work with the energy of Jupiter, but at the same time, they're being super cautious, super frightened, and sort of saying, oh no, I don't know that I can do this. They're getting very cranky. They're sort of, you know, making it unbearable for their partners and the people that are close to them in their lives, because are they not just retracting into their shell and being quiet? They're sort of being a little bit vocal this time and sort of telling everybody to run away and leave me alone and don't come knocking on my shell. You know, I'm busy. I've got things to do. Instead of sitting down and trying to look at and understand this very intense energy that's going on and sort of asking them to sort of be a bit bold, to sort of step out of their comfort zone a little bit, you know, put themselves out there, that there can be great rewards there. It doesn't have to be on a negative. It's showing them that they've got to reorganize how they think and sort of look at opportunities as they come to themselves, not just when it's a slam dunk that, yes, I'll go and do it because it's guaranteed it's going to work. Sometimes we've got to step out of that. And maybe they've outgrown the current shell that they've got. Maybe they need to be looking for a bigger home, a bigger shell, you know, to be able to expand out in lots of ways. The final one I'm going to talk about is Taurus, is in Taurus, which is Uranus. Uranus is the planet of the unusual and the unexpected. Now, this has been sitting in Taurus for quite some many years now. It's still going to be there for quite some time. It's retrograde at the moment until February next year. When I say still there for some time, it's probably still there another 12 months or so before it will move into the next sign. So it feels like it's been going on forever. But with Uranus being retrograde, this could also be bringing on a lot more of the weather events, because we're not taking notice of things, we're not listening, we're not adjusting in our lives. And that, I mean, every person, every star sign. But yes, it is predominantly affecting the earth signs, which is Taurus, Virgo, Capricorn, and the opposite sign of Scorpio. But it's washing over all the others, because Uranus is the planet of unusual, the unexpected. Be very, very careful what you wish for. Don't voice something that you don't want to happen. But with Uranus here, I think he's got to sort of show us that the world is out of balance at the moment, that we've got to start looking at things more in a balance. Maybe we're consuming too many things. Maybe there's too much waste in the world. This is all contributing to the global weather events that keep happening. You know, maybe we are the cause. You know, if we go back to, again, I go back to a simpler time in life when I was a little girl, which is a long time ago now, most things came in paper bags. Nothing was in shiny, bright boxes with colourful advertising on it. You went to the local grocer and you bought a pound of biscuits, or you bought a pound of cheese, or a pound of sugar, and it just came, you know, it was measured out and put into the paper bag and you went home. Now today, if we don't go to a supermarket or a place to purchase food that isn't brightly coloured and full of fluorescent lighting and everything looks shiny and sparkly and everything's competing to try and catch our eye, we've got so much choice now as consumers. I think this is leading to part of the problem. Maybe we need to go back to a simpler time where you could just go in and buy what you needed by the pound or the kilo, as we announce it here in Australia. Anyway, that's where I'm going to leave the astrological report this week. I didn't mean to sort of get on my soapbox, but sometimes you can tie that in with the astrology because it is very relevant. We're going to take our first caller, which is Sher in Medina in Ohio. Are you there, Sher?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you, sweetie. How can I help you today? Do you have a question I can answer for you?
Well, my health.
Okay. Okay, Cher. Look, it's interesting because, sweetie, technically, by different governing laws, we're not allowed to talk about health because we're not medical practitioners, but I can look at it on an energetic level for you if you want me to do it that way, and see what that brings up. But the first thing that was coming up around me, Cher, for you was the fact that I feel that there's a number of endings and changes and transformations going on around you. So has the last few months been sort of quite busy as things are starting to sort of come to a conclusion in your life?
Kind of. We're hoping.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, that's what they're showing me. They're showing me that things are in the final stages of things that you've been working on for some time are now coming to a conclusion. Things are coming to an end. With that is going to see an improvement in how you feel physically. I'm not sure that you've really sort of got to the bottom of what is making you not feel the way that you want to. It's sort of like you've gone, you've seen, you've talked to different practitioners, different doctors, and nobody's giving you an answer or an answer that you can say, well, that makes sense to me. It's sort of like it's like as if they're putting me off and sending me off for this or sending me off for that, but nobody's really listening to what you've got to say. I feel that that's going to change soon. I think you're going to come across a new doctor that is really sort of going to take the time to sit there and listen to all your concerns and not sort of put it all into one basket and say, oh, well, that's this or that or the other. They're looking at it from a different approach. They're looking at it as if there's two or three different answers to this question. It's not just one condition or not just one situation that's causing you to not feel well. Has it been a real struggle energy-wise, you know, like sort of constantly feeling tired? Because that's what I'm picking up.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got no answer for that. It doesn't matter how much sleep you get. I still don't wake up feeling refreshed.
No. No, I have cancer, but I don't feel like that's the... They're missing something.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And it, to me, it's like a simple answer. So I think it has to do with other things, but...
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think, I mean, as I said at the beginning, I'm not a doctor, but to me, it's like nobody's listening to you. You know, they're saying, oh, yeah, that's that. You know, like they're putting it all into that one basket and exploring and saying, well, hang on a minute. Yes, that could be that, but we haven't explored over here where it could be this or it could be that. And that's what I was saying. I could see another doctor that you're going to come across who takes the time to listen, doesn't look at it and say, oh, well, that's just, you know, Cher's cancer. There's other contributing factors here. Yes, the cancer is a major thing. Let's not underplay that. It is. But if there's other things that are contributing to you not feeling well, we need to address those as well. I just keep feeling he's male and he's got dark hair and it's somebody that he might only be filling in for somebody else that you normally see. And it's like, wow, you've struck the jackpot here with getting somebody that actually will get to the bottom of things. And that's good. So I feel that, you know, we're turning the corner. It's like you've made peace with the cancer. Would that make sense?
I mean, it's there. I don't know how much it's going to contribute with. Like, I don't know what direction it's going to go in or anything like that. You know what I mean? I'm just like, okay, that's fine. Now let's feel better.
Yeah, exactly. That's why
I've
I feel that's why they were showing it to me as you've made peace with it. Do you know what I mean? Like you've accepted, you've got it now, you know, like let's get to the bottom of everything, not just that. It's sort of they keep showing me it's two separate things. It's sort of like the cancer's one and then there's two others. And I'm not saying the other two aren't as important or need as much treatment as the cancer. I'm just saying that's the number one, but there's two more things. And yes, I mean, tiredness, yes, can be related to your cancer, I'm sure. But to me, there's two other things there that are underlying that is aggravating this or not allowing you to start to feel well. I just know that things are going to touch.
If you can get those two things under control, then maybe I can make this cancer not grow, you know, because when you don't get...
Absolutely.
Appropriate seat, you don't get, you know, all that stuff. It just, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like exercising.
Yeah, no, I agree
like
with you. Yeah, but if they can get those other two things under control, then yes, all your focus then can be on beating the cancer, on being well. And, you know, look, you know, the power of positive thinking is a very important tool, but it's not the only thing. You know, we do need prescription medications and treatments and things like that to beat illnesses. We can't just do it with the power of the mind. If we could, it'd be amazing. You know, it's a contributing factor. But, you know, to me, you haven't lost the opportunity here to sort of, you know, you keep exploring, you keep looking, you know, you're not just sitting back and saying, oh, well, that's it, that's my lot. You keep going forward, searching for answers. I hope that, you know, things really come towards you now, Cher, because I believe that we're very close to you meeting that doctor that I talked about, and that's going to be life-changing for you. Anyway, sweetie, that's where I'm going to leave it. Happy Thanksgiving. So we're going to talk with Denise now in Memphis in Tennessee. Are you there, Denise?
Yes, I'm here.
You have a question I can answer for you, please, Denise?
Yes, I was calling to see where do you see me and Lawrence going? Is there rekindling, reconciliation?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Really, really interesting, because I feel you seem to be, dare I say, more with your eyes wide open this time. You know, like it's not, you're not getting caught up in the excitement and the anticipation of the romance. It's like, well, okay, let's just have a good look at this. You know what I mean? Sure. Like, yes, I'm excited, but I'm going to be very practical and logical and sort of not have my rose-coloured glasses on this time. And it's interesting because he's trying to do the same. I'm not saying he's as successful as you are at doing it, but he's trying to do the same thing. He's trying to listen intently to what you want, to try and sit down and resolve any issues or problems that might come up in the relationship. Both of you are looking at it this time as it's almost like it's a brand new relationship. Yes, we're aware we've got a past and we've had a past, but you're also aware that you're both different people now and that you come to the table bringing different gifts and different ideas and different expectations out of the relationship. I don't feel uncomfortable with it. I just feel take your time, do what you're doing. I think you're heading in the right direction. And I think he's going to actually surprise you that how mature he becomes quite quickly and really starts to step up to the plate. I think one of the things that really drove you mad before in the relationship was you were the one that was doing all the heavy lifting. You were the one that was making all the decisions. You were the one that had to carry the burdens. And this time he's going to start to take a bit of that off you. And that's good. That's a good thing. So was there a trust issue there before?
Yes, that's what broke the relationship up.
Right. Well, I can certainly guarantee you, I shouldn't say that probably, but I'm going to anyway, I can guarantee you that is a thing of the past. If there's one thing that he's learned out of this, okay, that is like it's stamped on his forehead, he will never, ever, ever go there again and do anything remotely like it. He has well and truly learnt that lesson. It's like somebody with a branding iron, you know, putting it on his forehead, reminding him that, you know, that's not to ever happen. He, look, sometimes in hindsight is our greatest discoveries that we realise what we should or shouldn't have done, and I think he's really done that, and I think he's really sorry for what happened. You know, we can't erase the past, but I don't think it needs to be front and centre either as we move forward. You know, the two of you have discussed it, you've thrashed it out, you've gone past it. So let's just put it to one side and say, okay, that door is now shut. Let's deal with the here and now. Let's look at the relationship for what it is now and how he is with you now. And, you know, there's nothing there that I don't think he wouldn't do for you within reason. But, you know, you also have to give a little bit too. You know, you can't just always have him prove to you his love or his faithfulness. You know, there's got to be a certain amount of trust coming from you also, Denise.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's hard because, you know, when somebody's hurt you like that, how do you go back and give them your heart again? You know, like that's a pretty big thing. And most people can't do it and do it successfully. But I feel you two have got a more than a fighting chance of making this a very, very beautiful, long-term, happily ever after relationship. But it's going to take some adjustments. It's going to take a little bit of work, and there's going to be days there where you feel like tearing your hair out and smacking him across the mush and saying you're an idiot. And then there's other days you just want to kiss him and cuddle him and tell him he's wonderful. And that's all part of, right, I think, going through the journey of rediscovery of each other and, you know, knowing that this is this time round a very different relationship. It's not the past. It's now. It's present. It's what the two of you have evolved into. And I feel it's going to be a very good long-term relationship. Are the two of you planning on moving in together or moving buying a house or something in the next 12 months?
We haven't talked about it. But that's something you might see.
I do. After March next year, I sort of see the two of you very seriously looking at properties. And I wasn't sure whether that was just to move into something, but I sort of felt more it was more about looking for something long-term, more secure, more permanent, as if we were looking to buy something. You mightn't be ready to purchase just at that point, but that's when you start to sort of seriously look at, you know, what we can get for our money, what would be the best suited to us and, you know, our future and all those sort of things. I think he's going to surprise you that actually how handy he actually is with his hands. You know, even if you bought an older place, I think he'd lovingly want to put time into it to making it beautiful and making it your own. You know, he's quite handy in those ways. So, and that would be also good for his soul too, to sort of feel that he's providing in that way. It's not a bad thing. So it's good. I think you've got a good future ahead of you, the two of you. But you've just got to be able to sort of shut that door on the past and try and not let it creep back into the present. And I know it's going to be hard because every time some little thing goes wrong, your mind's going to go back there because you're human. But you've got to smack yourself on the hand and saying, hang on a minute, there's no real proof of this. Stop it. And then sort of deal with what you're dealing with. You know, when there's no proof and it's just your imagination, then we've got to stop that. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's entitled to have friends of the opposite sex. It doesn't mean because we have a conversation. If you have a conversation with a man, it doesn't mean you're going to jump into bed with him. Well, vice versa for him. He's not going to jump into bed with every woman he has a conversation with. We've got to allow a little bit of leeway there. But, you know, I don't agree with, you know, couples allowing each other to flirt with the opposite sex. I think that leads to trouble. You know, but you can be pleasant and polite and smile at somebody, but you don't give them the come to bed eyes. You know, that's crossing the line, in my opinion. So, you know, like, he's learnt all these things, but, you know, he still enjoys female company, and there's nothing wrong with that, as I'm sure you enjoy being around men. But that doesn't mean you want a relationship with them.
Right. That makes sense.
Okay. Well, I hope that's helped you, Denise, because, you know, it's a tricky time for you both. You know, you're trying to give this one more go. And, you know, you're both hesitant at how it's going to work, but I believe it's got really good potential here, sweetie. So just keep being true to yourself. Just, you know, take one day at a time. Don't think too far ahead. And when the time comes, buy a house and throw your energies into that together and build a beautiful, you know, family home. Anyway, that's where we're going to leave it. Happy Thanksgiving, Denise. We've come to the end of the show again. It's a very important time of the year for a lot of people around the world, where Thanksgiving is a major holiday and a major time to get together and spend time with family and, you know, look back on what's happened in the last year and sort of hopefully mend a few fences if there's been a few family rifts and things like that, which can quite often happen in families. You know, not everything's perfect. You know, people don't always get on, or people have different personalities and there's personality conflict, but it's a time to be thankful. And that's what I said. Let's take the time to sort of stop, smell the coffee, smell the roses, be thankful, be grateful for who's going to be at the table, and sort of enjoy their company, because we never know what's around the corner. We never know when somebody's going to depart the planet, and it might be that last time that you get to spend that special family occasion together. It's really something that's very special and very important. So I want to leave you with my song of the week. Here in Australia, we just love this lady, and she's been synonymous with what's our major game here, which is called rugby league. And she did ad campaigns for many, many years in a row and turned the actual game around, where women and children started joining in and going to these events and cheering their local teams on and made it a family event. And, you know, today is her birthday here in Australia, which is the 26th, which is the 26th tomorrow overseas. And she's left an indelible mark that everybody that hears this particular song just automatically thinks of her, thinks of rugby league, and everybody starts singing. So I want to leave you with one of Tina Turner's best. And she is simply the best. And, you know, the world still misses her greatly. She was one of the world's greatest performers. And if you ever get a chance, go back and look at the movie on her life. It's really, really inspirational. So happy heavenly birthday, Tina Turner. You are simply the best.